What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to the Bad Podcast. Brad and Dwayne in here with my brother Brad. Man, this is 101, man. We passed 100. We officially passed the Hundy mark. So, man, what are we talking about today, brother?
101 Dalmatians is what we're talking about today. Hey, man, doubt is only removed by action. If you're not working, then that's where the doubt comes in. Let's douse that doubt.
Let's kill it today, baby. Let's get it.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
What up, what up? What it look like? What it be like? What it do? Back in here. Another episode of the Bad Podcast. Brad and Dwayne, man. And just super excited to be back in here. Man, this has been a fun ride. We just celebrated 100. We on 101, 101 Dalmatians. And I always got to start the show off, man, by shouting out the folks, man. We can't do this without you, man. We having a really good time. Love seeing the feedback in the comments and people just checking us out, man. So I always like to start off that way. But Brad, man, we're not here to talk about us. We're talking about somebody else. So let's get into it, man.
Yeah, so this is Run Coach Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, without further hesitation, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, hi, guys. Happy to be here. And congratulations on 101. That's a huge achievement. Hi, my name's Elizabeth Scott. I am the founder of Running Explained. So I am a run coach. I call myself a running educator. And of course, I'm a runner myself. And I hope to help anybody who wants to be a runner become a better runner.
Man, I can feel the energy coming through the screen. Elizabeth, you are the perfect person for this podcast. I did my research a little bit, and I jumped on your Instagram, you know, scrolled some of your content. One of the things that I saw over and over was better, smart, faster, better, smart, faster. And when you talk about running or preparation for a race, can you just explain what it means to train better, what it means to train smarter, what it means to train to get faster?
Yeah. So with running, I think when a lot of us start running, it's hard, right? I think there's no disputing the fact that running feels hard. But there is a disconnect between what we think hard work looks like when we're runners and what hard work actually looks like when we're runners. Because I think a lot of us are taught, you know, put in the work is grinding, it's grueling. If you're not finishing every session, feeling like you want to puke, you're doing something wrong. And that's not a very sustainable way to go about training for a half marathon, a marathon, 5K, 10K, something you're going to be training for months, 3, 4, 5 months. And people train for one specific race for almost an entire year in certain situations. So one of the things that hard work looks like, and this is where the better, faster, better, smarter, faster comes in, is knowing that training sustainably is the most effective way to train. And a lot of that does not necessarily look like, oh my God, I want to vomit, I'm working so hard, right? So that's kind of the biggest misconceptions a lot of people have coming into running. They think that, you know, better training, smarter training is harder training. And that's not necessarily the train that's going to make you faster. You still need some of it, but you need a lot of other things as well.
Mm-hmm. That was actually something that I didn't understand when I first got into running. I felt like every single time if it said 5 miles or if it said 60 minutes, I was out there trying to set a PR. I mean, I was trying to beat whatever I did last week, you know, and, what that did for me is it left me sore, more sore than I should have been. It left me doubting myself because, you know, when you set, I'm all about raising the bar in all aspects of my life, but when you set an expectation for yourself and you fall short of that expectation, it leaves you feeling some sort of way about that next effort. And if I can't reach that expectation every single workout, like you said, like the sustainability of that is just, it's really not there. But one of the things that I also read was be a person first and a runner second. And that ties into this concept of sustainability. And, can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's really easy to get lost in being a runner as like your whole identity, because it's exciting. You know, you become a runner, whether you were 12 or 55, you know, and you stumble upon this group of people, and it's a very unique type of suffering that we like to engage as distance runners, right? So you found your tribe, you have the kind of same trials and tribulations, and you get excited because, like you said, Brad, you know, when you're newer, it's so easy to get faster. What it seems like almost every single day, so you kind of come to expect that, but it hooks you. It gets you, right? Nobody would, you know, I think not as many people would start running if it took 6 months to start to see any improvement. Like, our community would be much smaller if that were the case. But you can't lose sight of the fact that you are a human being with a life outside of running, first and foremost. You know, very few of the people I work with earn their living as runners. Now, yes, we professional runners. We do have some people who are, you know, content creators who derive their running that way. But most of the people that we work with, that I work with, are regular people just trying to get really good at their hobby, right? So it's really about emphasizing, you know, if you are a happy, healthy human being, you're going to be a happy, healthy runner. But if you're a sick and injured runner, you're going to be a sick and injured human being. So, you know, it's going both ways and understanding how your regular life intimately is involved in your running life.
No doubt. Now, Dwayne, did you hear all that? I'm trying to talk Dwayne into getting in the running game.
we were doing so good. Like, I was like, this going to be the episode where I'm not I'm not harassed for not being a part of the club.
I've been pushing, I've been pulling, I've been asking, requesting, requiring.
But you know what? I will say this. Just hearing the way you talk about training, because it's a I guess from the outside looking in, you think like Brad said, you got to go hard all the time. Just to hear you just talk about the balance of it makes it a little palatable. Not saying I'm about to do anything, but just hearing your thoughts and approach on that, because I also thought that was, you know, what was, you know, what you're supposed to do. You know, you're going to train for a marathon, and every Friday or every Saturday you got to wake up and run 13, you know, 20, whatever, you know. But just to understand that, you know, you have to you know, prepare your body, and it takes time and all of that. It sounds interesting. That's all I'll say.
I'll also say, you know, as a running coach, I'll be the first person to say, like, hey, if it doesn't set your soul on fire, like, that's okay. You don't have to do it. You know, everybody has their own relationship with different forms of movement. And some people, like, they would rather run than do almost anything else in the world. And some other people are like, hey, I'm running my 10 minutes today because it's going to make me a better lifter. Like, and everywhere in between, right?
That's where Dwayne is. And he will not run for 10 minutes. It's more like,
uphill walking. I will hike for 10 minutes.
Now, I want to say this podcast is going to drop at a really nice time, because it's going to, all of our podcasts drop on Mondays. A handful of people are watching live right now, and we're training as a group. We got 150 people on our team that are doing the Charlotte Marathon all the way down to the 5K. And this is going to drop Monday. So whether they're watching this live right now, or if they're watching it on the YouTube, or when it drops to the public on Monday, what's your best piece of advice as we inch closer? We got a week and a half out from our big day. What's your best piece of advice for somebody that's worked so hard and you can see the finish line?
Yeah, that's such an exciting place to be. And a lot of people right now, if you're in this situation or your race is maybe a couple weeks on the horizon, you're so focused on the race as the end of your training cycle. But getting to the end of your training cycle before you've even crossed that start line, that's the real achievement. Anybody can do one day's worth of something. And yes, in some cases, we want to train many days to train for that one day. But think of all of the hours and the miles and the days and the weeks and the blisters and the sweat and maybe a few tears, that everything that you have done up until now, that is what the accomplishment actually is. Mm-hmm. There's some things you can control on race day, and there's a lot that you can't. And not every race day result is reflective of all the work you put in, but it is the work itself that is the huge achievement. So I want you to all pat yourselves on the back, take a deep breath. Remember, yes, I can do this. I've worked hard for this, but I also know that all the hard work I've already done, that's the true accomplishment of this race.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to jump in on that point because, you know, the things that you learn about yourself during the grind, during the determination, during the process, like that's what's going to shine the brightest on the other side of that finish line. Like you're saying, one day is not going to define you. That 16 weeks, that 12 weeks, that 10 weeks, that 8 weeks, however long you've been in preparation. And Dwayne can attest to this because he's been on the stage for physique shows. Like it isn't what shows necessarily on that stage. It's the grind, and it's everything that you learned along the way during the process. Like when you're in it, that's the important pieces. When you're in it and what you learned about yourself, man, that's the important piece. So I just absolutely cannot love that any more than what you just said.
Yeah, I'm big on the running is life is running, you know. You know, because it does, you know, it puts us in these situations which are challenging, but we choose to be there, right? So we get to, I think, in a very you know, sandboxy, kind of low, it feels high pressure, but it's really not, really low pressure way. Explore all these challenges that, you know, who are we? What are the things that we really struggle with? What are the things that we're really great at? And, you know, uncover some of those, I'll call them weaknesses, areas where we don't necessarily like what we're seeing, but we can, I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can use that to then get better, right? Whatever the thing is. I'm not talking about physical prowess. I'm talking about the way we think and we feel and we act. You know, those are the things that are really revealed.
Boom. I like this a lot. You said something, not every race day goes the way you had planned, right? Just like in life, you think you have this master plan, you go to work and that's just not how it goes. You think you have this master plan and you get married and that's just not how it goes or whatever. A lot of that, you know, when you get to race day, a lot of the things that, you know, if we don't live up to that expectation, we shame ourselves, right? I missed that one training day 16 weeks ago. And if I would have done that training day, I would have been successful today. A lot of that stems between our own two ears. How can I quiet that voice or silence that voice on race day? Do you have any techniques?
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's relationship with this is a little bit different, right? Some of us are much harder on ourselves than others. And some people are like, that sucked. I'll try harder. I'll try again next time. You know, for a lot of people, we are so used to, if I just put the work in, right? If I study really hard, if I, you know, do a lot of hours in my job, then I will get the result I'm looking for. And running isn't quite like that. Yes, like you have to put in the work, but there's, like I said, a lot on race day that you cannot control. You cannot control the weather, right? You cannot control the things that necessarily happen to you in the days leading up to the race. One of my athletes I work with privately, the week of his half marathon, his big race this fall, he had to do an emergency work trip to the West Coast from the East Coast and back, like Monday through Thursday. And then he had to get up on Saturday and race a half marathon. And we're like, you know, this is less than ideal, but this is some of the stuff that life just throws at you. So, you know, back to what I said about the being proud of the work you've already done before you even cross the start line. That's really important, right? Because if you are placing all of your self-worth and expectations on an outcome goal, which is typically a time goal, right? I mean, I hope that you achieve that, but statistically, like you probably won't, right? Maybe you'll do better. Maybe you won't hit that goal, right? But that's no bearing on your worth, first of all, as a human being. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that just happens. You know, we watch professional runners in these big races. Do they always achieve the goal they set out to achieve? No. But that they do it, they keep at it, right? The other thing I would caution against, because I see this happen all the time, is that it's about moving the goalposts about what success actually looks like after your race is accomplished. And I see this most commonly with people who have achieved the big goal that they set out to achieve. And then they nitpick and say, well, if I'd only done this, I could have run even faster. You know, so it's like, when are we happy, right? I'm not saying that you should be happy with your accomplishment and like never strive to get better, but it's also about, hey, be proud of the things that you have accomplished. Should you cross that finish line? That's an accomplishment. Seriously, showing up to the start line is an accomplishment. Crossing the finish line is an accomplishment. Everything that you did in between the start and the finish line is a learning opportunity. It's an adventure that you went on and you learned a ton about yourself that you can roll up into whatever you're gonna do next.
This is fire. This is good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the move the goalposts, man. I talk about this so often because, you know, just like our goals, our bodies, our lives are always evolving, right? And moving the goalposts is the same exact analogy, right? If I didn't hit my target exactly what I thought I had this vision, man. I was gonna sub 2 hours. I was gonna cross that finish line. I was gonna get a hug from my best friend and all. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if you don't, move the goalpost. You know, reset that expectation. You know, when you cross that finish, or when you cross that start line, I love what you said about the start line, because too often we place a lot of emphasis on that finish line. I'm gonna get to the finish line. But like you said, getting to that start line, you're entering an elite group. It's like less than 5% just getting to the start line and then finishing, you know, you enter that 1% group or whatever it is, but man, just getting to that start line and going through the trials and tribulations. One of the things that I've been preaching with my team that's doing the Charlotte Marathon is internal dialogue. Try to control the voice in your head. You know, it's the ongoing thing on social media right now, control that conversation. But the two words that we've been attracted to are I am. And I've been telling them, I am, and then fill in the blank with a power word. I am strong. I am courageous. I am confident. And continue to tell yourself, man, when you're out there in the thick and the thin, and you're thinking, I don't have another step in me. I just can't. I am strong. I am going to finish. I am courageous. And no matter what that looks like to you, maybe you're not going to reach your goal for the day, but you're still courageous. You're still strong. You're still confident. You're still all those things that you said about yourself. And controlling that voice inside your mind on race day is very important, because you know as well as I know, and I'm sure D had the same conversation in his mind on the grand stage, like, maybe I'm not worthy. Yes, I am. Maybe I'm not capable. Yes, I am. And you have to convince yourself that, yes, I do belong here. You know, at the same time, just along with all the other thoughts, I do belong here and I am strong.
Yeah, that internal dialogue, that's a huge one, right? We're always trying to mold our thoughts to our will, especially in a race or any situation where you're hurting, right? You're suffering, it's getting hard, you do have the doubts that creep in. There's a lot that I mean, yes, the self-talk thing and having mantras, that's huge. A lot what I have been working on, the things I talk to my athletes about, is not necessarily needing to react or respond to those thoughts that we have, you know, kind of accepting them. Yeah. Doing the thing, oh, this feels really hard. Yes, it does. Right. Because what you can't do anything about it. Because a lot of that internal dialogue in a race or in a workout, it's that dialogue. It's telling you that you want the suffering to stop, right? You want to back off. You want it to feel easier. You don't want it to feel quite as hard. But as you go through a race, or a workout or whatever it is, it's not going to get easier. It's just going to get harder. So just kind of accepting that and be like, it feels hard. Yeah, it does. Like I can't, wishing it away is going to make me realize how much I want to stop and how much I want to be hurting right now. So like, yes, just saying, yes, it does. Like, yep, this is my life right now. I like, one of my personal mantras is you live here. As in, like, you live here, like, you're not going to be able to go anywhere else. So you may as well just live here in this, mm-hmm. in this suffering. So, mm-hmm. And I know, especially I'm using this word suffering, and anybody who's listening to this is not necessarily a runner is thinking like, she's used that word a lot this episode. I don't know about this whole running thing, but yeah. What I mean by that is that when you are working so hard physically, that voice in your head tells you, oh, this feels really uncomfortable. I can't sustain this. I want to stop. That's the kind of suffering I'm talking about. And we are always fighting against that voice.
Embrace the struggle. Dwayne is probably never going to retire or never going to start running. He has already retired before he even got on the track, but embrace the struggle, embrace it, you know, and like you said, live in it. Right. I always tell my clients, you see this all over social media right now. I'm on the struggle bus. Yeah. And the struggle bus is where you grow. Because when we struggle, when we face adversity, when we face all the trials and tribulations, that's where we grow. That's where we get better. And just to speak to what you're saying, live in it, right? Embrace it, accept it. Hey, this is going to be hard. And the longer that I can endure all this hardship, man, the more I'm going to grow, stronger I'm going to get, the further I'm going to go, and so on and so forth. Are you currently training for any races?
I'm not. I recently moved. So I have been adding some sort of training block on top of that would have driven me absolutely nuts. But I'm signed up for a couple holiday 5Ks, and then I'm scouting around for probably a half marathon for the spring.
Anything in particular?
Not really. So I just recently moved to Virginia. So I'm trying to figure out all like the whole racing season and scheme and stuff down here, which I used to live in Connecticut. So like I had all that down. Mm-hmm. The racing thing, I know some people have very specific, they like very specific types of races, or like really big races, or like really small races. And, you know, I like all kinds of races. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the big ones get a little crowded and you do have to do a little more weaving, you know, but the energy is infectious. But on a smaller race, you know, that's really, it's down to you. You're really racing you. And maybe you're on that course with like nobody else for a couple of miles. So yeah, I'm an equal opportunity racer.
I like that. I like that a lot. What's your most proud moment at a race, or maybe just professionally or personally? What's your most proud of moment?
Yeah, I mean, professionally, I think just doing what I do, like being visible, like being a professional, being somebody who talks about running and coaches runners and does this for a living. That's pretty surreal. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty proud of this accomplishment. Yeah. I would say as a runner, I was the first female. I didn't win the race, but I was the first woman to finish the race. There's a 10-mile race up in Connecticut where I used to live called the King of Pain. And it's 10 miles and like 1,100 feet of elevation gain and loss. And essentially you just like run up and down hills until you end. And so the year that I was the first woman in that race, that was a pretty special accomplishment because I'd never done that before. I placed first in my age group, but I'd never been like first overall woman. So yep.
That's amazing. Amazing, amazing. Congrats.
Thank you.
Sounds like fun.
It was fun after the fact.
I love it, man. She's real with it. Yeah. She's real with it. She's like, hey, It hurts. It's bad. We struggle. See, Brad, don't tell me that part. He just keeps trying to convince me to be a runner. Before we start the transition, Brad, you got another question before we start that? All right. Before we start the transition, I do want to bring up something you said that really struck me. Although I'm not a runner, like Brad mentioned, I do compete. And you mentioned the journey, you know, being a success, not necessarily the end goal. And that's something that, you know, that when you're in bodybuilding, that has to be the mindset. Like, you know, it's such a short time on that stage, but you know, it's 20 weeks up until. So that whole time you're in it, it's part of celebrating, you know, all the small wins leading up to. And then you mentioned, you know, when you show up, you already won. Like the day that and Brad, you remember this. I told you, man, as soon as I step on stage, like I win. Like I, even if I didn't leave any hardware, but I did, you know, but even if I didn't, I still won, man. Cause that just getting to that place separates you from so many people that, you know, maybe have made that verbal commitment, but couldn't take it all the way to the finish line or to the stage. So I just really wanted to kind of highlight that as well. So as we transition, we have what we call a small segment in our podcast where we call it the Do You Know or Did You Know. This is a segment where you're going to share something with our podcast audience that you either never said before on a podcast interview. I don't know how often you get interviewed, or something a lot of people don't know about you. We just asked if it's incriminating that, you know, you make sure the law, statute, you know, make sure you cover yourself on that. We're gonna play a short video, and after that video, you give us a do you know or did you know fact about yourself. Okay, all right, here's the video.
Do you know?
All right, the video's over. You ready for the do you know or did you know moment? What you got for us?
I've been playing the violin since I was 3.
Whoa, there you go.
And I've never mentioned that on a podcast before. So that is exclusive.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I love it.
I'm just imagining my kid. So I got a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine him playing anything, let alone a violin.
Like he struggles with. At that age, I don't know that it's necessarily playing, just holding and mashing.
Yeah. He struggles with the jaws. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Listen, I heard he play a mean pot. If you set it in front of him, he'll play a mean pot.
He indeed can. He can get on the drum, boy.
That's awesome. Wow. So, I mean, I guess you know, you're a musician on the side, or I mean, is this a hobby, or talk about that a little bit?
It's for fun. Yeah. I came home apparently, right? Because I don't really remember these things. Came home from preschool one day, and or daycare, whatever it was, and I said, you know, I want to play the violin. My parents were like, how did she learn what a violin is?
What is that?
Apparently at daycare. And I just hounded my parents. Hounded. I remember I had this toy ukulele. And I would play it, in air quotes, with those like rhythm sticks that you could, like, you know, rhythm. So I would, you know, like saw at this ukulele with a stick. And my parents, I think, eventually, like, oh my God, anything has to be better than this. So, yeah.
Oh, that's
that is awesome. No, I love it. This has been a really good episode. Your energy comes through, and you know, Brad is. He's like the Energizer Bunny. Like you brought, like he want to keep going. I have to be the guy that say we got to cut this off, because when it comes to being motivated and then talking about running, I mean, he can go all day. But I want to give you an opportunity to you know, because we do have some people live and people are gonna be listening on Monday. Any words of encouragement, anything you want to give to folks on your way out? And then Brad, I'll let you close it out, boss.
For my runners. If you're not nervous before race day, that's abnormal. So just remember that when you are trying to do something you've never been able to do before, it's okay to be a little bit nervous, because that's really what we're talking about, right? Is going in something you've never, ever done before. How cool is that? And so I hope that you achieve every accomplishment that you set out to achieve. But remember, like I said, making it to the start line is in itself a huge accomplishment. You should be very proud of that.
Absolutely. One more thing. What's your Instagram handle so they can find you?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at Running Explained. It's all Running Explained. RunningExplained.com. I have the Running Explained podcast. Instagram Running Explained. I'm trying to make TikTok happen. I don't know. It's just not.
TikTok's tricky.
It is tricky. But yeah, so I'm not technically there. So don't try to come find me.
Yeah. And I'm going to also make the plug for Brad. I think, you know, you should have Brad on your podcast, Running Explained. I mean, it's perfect.
I will.
I mean,
yeah.
Not me. I'm good, but y'all do your thing. But no, that was so good. All right, Brad, end this off, brother.
Hey, I'm going to use something that she said. Move the goalpost, adapt, evolve, succeed.
That's it. Till next time.